Okay.
Call the meeting to order. Can we stand for the pledge? I'll ask Kelly to lead you for the pledge.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, before we get into the town business, I guess it is town business, but Corey Thompson and Roger Favreau are here to talk about the EMS and the EMS contract for the next couple of years. So I will open the floor.
You want me to start?
Yep.
So we had a meeting about 6 weeks ago with all of our town and village heads just to kind of go over like what I call the next 10 years, planning the next 10 years. I became captain in 2011 and we had a 10-year plan, and that ended last year, obviously, how time flies. So rather than go to each one separately, we invited Jeff and there's new town and village supervisors from Champlain and Rouse's Point. So it's a great way to kind of get everyone on the same page. And long story short, what we're trying to get to and what we've always tried to get to is that the taxable revenues from our three contracted districts would equal our paid staff wages. And as I explained to anyone who ever asked, why is there a tax, and then also why is there an ambulance bill? So the taxes from our contracted areas allow us to staff our ambulances. And currently we have 13 full-time staff ready to respond. So we basically are staffing two ambulances round the clock to respond to calls. And to date, we're on pace to answer approximately 1,420 calls amongst the three districts, Rouse's Point, Champlain, and Morrill. The bill is for the actual ambulance bill. So the way we look at it is that, we have a $1.2 million budget. All of the billing revenue covers basically everything else, including purchasing of equipment and ambulances, and that the taxable income is meant to subsidize our paid staff. We're very fortunate in the town of Moores and Champlain and the village of Rouse's Point that the going rate for hired paid staff is roughly in the neighborhood of $550,000. So for instance, the latest town to go out and contract for EMS is Ellenberg Center. And they were just quoted $560,000 for 8 full-time employees. We're able to take that paid staff money, what it would normally cost one town, and split it amongst our three. And that split is typically a 50% out of Champlain and 25% out of Rouse's Point and Moores. So it's not a three-way direct split because half of our calls do come out of Champlain and based on population as well. So we've had a long standing, maybe for the last 8 years, we've always done a 50-25-25 split. Just because of call volume and where we staff most of our paid staff on off hours, et cetera. So we met with Jeff and Tom Trombley and John Lavani, and kind of came up with the next 3 years, how we can close that gap on, right now we're getting $471,000 collectively from our three towns, which is under what normally one town would pay. And with having 13 paid staff, not just 8, but we're up to 13 now, full-time paid staff, trying to close that gap so that we could get more from our tax base and using our billing revenue to subsidize the rest of our budget. The sad reality is our billing revenue is maxed out. So we put about $600,000 of our billing revenue toward the annual budget, and we can't squeeze any more money out of that. As much as we would raise our rates, we always get questions about why does it cost $2,000 for an ambulance ride. Well, we don't get that $2,000 on 81% of our people. We get about $400. So if we could charge $800 and get $800 from every one of our patients, that's all we would charge. But unfortunately, the way insurance companies works, it is very difficult to actually get that kind of money. So we write a lot of it off every year. But we can't really squeeze any more money out of our billing revenue. We've really maxed that out. So that's kind of the message that we sent. We gave a PowerPoint presentation. Jeff has a copy. We went over kind of the numbers over the last 10 years and where we project in the next 10 years. and just trying to work with our towns and give them the best EMS coverage you can get for your dollar and try to, you know, save the towns and villages as much money as we can and still have an adequate EMS service. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, if that helps, so.
Okay. I don't know if any of the board members got questions for them, or now's the time to ask.
The PowerPoint presentation that we got last month in our meeting shows that you're going to be declining over $40,000 in bill revenue.
Over the next...
But the chart that you showed us shows that it was a steady increase in revenues for the ambulance service.
The revenues have flattened out, basically. So where we were putting in anywhere between $60,000 and $80,000 a year, we're lucky to really raise that any more. In fact, I do think that we should be either keeping it the same or actually lowering it. We're not going to hit our projected billing revenue this particular year. We've already mapped that out. We're way under where we projected. I've cautioned the board on this over the last 5 years that I think we are subsidizing too much of our budget from our billing, and we need to subsidize it more with our three taxable contracts. And we are at that point where we can't get any more billing revenue out of our calls. We use all of it, and really it's probably bad practice, but we've always used all of it to try to keep the taxes as low as possible.
And now why is that? Because insurance is not paying?
Yeah, insurances pay what they're going to pay, and we don't go after, I mean, we could go after the rest of the bills from our customers. We choose not to. What the insurance companies pay us is sufficient. There is a limit, a minimum threshold from insurance companies. It's $150. So the only people we ever go after in collections are patients that don't pay. So unfortunately, insurance companies do send the checks directly to the patient, and then the patient doesn't turn that check over to us. And those patients we do send to collections. It's about 11% of our customers. We never used to do that until our billing company said we lost $56,000 one year on those types of patients. So we do send those folks to collections. The other 89% of our customers, what we get is what we get. And we don't go after those folks for the balance of what's owed based on what their insurance covers.
So how do you figure the town of Moores, we raised our assessments this past year over 24%. How is that going to accumulate with the tax rate for next year's budget?
Well, we kind of figured out the tax rates and shared that with the towns, trying to do a rough estimate. It's hard to predict.
That was on the PowerPoint.
Yeah, I think we're at 68 cents on a thousand right now. And in 3 years, I think the town of Moores would have been at $1.05. I'm trying to go off memory here, so I apologize. So, you know, basically on a $100,000 home, it costs $100 for a 24/7 ambulance coverage, which we think is pretty reasonable. Most towns around us, I use like Altona, for instance, they're $2.35 for ambulance coverage. The village of Dannemora is close to $3 on $1,000 for ambulance coverage. So our rate is very, very good, I feel. As far as assessments goes, it's hard to predict where that number is supposed to be.
The assessments went up over 24%, we made yourself 100% with the count.
Right.
So if it goes up, my thinking is that you guys are going to be getting more money without even increasing the rates.
Right, that'll come out when we do the budget.
No, the money is a contractual number. It's not based on, our rate is not based on assessments. It's based on a contracted number that you guys pay us. So if we charge you $131,000 this year, you wrote us a check for $131,000. Right. It comes from you guys, not the town.
And then you split it up between all the.
Yeah, you'll base your rate in your towns off those assessments.
Oh,
that rate will come from you. But that doesn't give us any more money based on assessments.
Oh, okay. And then on the paperwork last month, there was the, I don't know if it was a budget or not, or you gave us a copy of
I gave a very tentative budget.
The agreement was going to be for 2023 because it didn't really match the slides that...
It didn't, and I told Jeff that. I said, these numbers, we're still playing around with those numbers.
So they're not, neither one of those numbers you gave us are concrete.
Correct. We actually have a budget meeting on Thursday night to iron out the final budget.
Is there a big disparity between those two numbers?
There is, because the 2023 budget was the number we're trying to get to in 3 years. So once we saw that number and said, boy, that's tough to ask a town to go up, you know, $100,000 in 1 year, that we need to try to break that over 3 years, and that's where the PowerPoint came. We never went back and updated the budget yet.
But there was two big differences.
Yes, yeah, I knew that when I gave that to Jeff. The other point to this is unfortunately, our volunteers, I'll call it pre-COVID, like 5 years ago, we had 55 volunteers on the roster, and those 55 volunteers were asked to answer 850 ambulance calls. And now we have 32 volunteers that are being asked to answer 1,400 ambulance calls. And for many, many reasons, and COVID being one of them, the drive of getting out of bed to go help people who are sick was lost on a lot of people. Some people had to, you know, take 2-3 jobs to subsidize their homes. Some people just, you know, started their families. We had a lot of reasons why our volunteers are declining. It's starting to come back a little bit. That, to me, that's going to take 2 years to bounce back. We just processed 6 applications, 2 for paid and 4 for volunteer. So our volunteerism is starting to come back a little bit, but it takes time to take those volunteers to train them to, you know, train them to be EMTs, and then ultimately they can provide care. So to subsidize the loss of those volunteers and the number of calls, we've had to, you know, continue to add on paid staff. And rough estimate, a paid person costs us about $60,000. So when I say, and we have 13 full-timers, and then a host of per diem. So there's, you know, 780. So that's what we're trying to get to. I think the number in 3 years was 850,000 over the 3 towns, which is still pretty reasonable considering that one town, it's roughly 600,000, 560 now for 8 people, and we have one shy of double, you know, close to double that. So those are some of the reasons we were given, Jeff and the towns, of why we're at this predicament, where we're trying to get to.
Right, because the last time you came here and spoke to us, it was in 2018, mm-hmm. and we were trying to get a building for you, a space for you.
Yep.
At that time, it was a 7 or 8% increase every year.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not going to be in stone either.
Yeah.
We're going to stay within a 7 or 8% increase annually.
Yeah.
And now everything post-COVID, but the ambulance did receive some compensation from the federal government for COVID.
For payroll, correct.
For payroll, and also for upgrading the equipment that you showed me. Some of the upgrades that you did to the ambulance is also recovered under that. Was that not true or not?
No, the upgrades to the ambulance came from a private donation that was used for upgrading our stretchers, and we bought 3 CPR devices. So all of that money came from...
I thought that was COVID-related state for federal monies.
No, the only thing we got from the state was payroll protection program.
Uh-huh.
We got a little kickback from Medicare,
wasn't much,
but the payroll protection program went 100% to covering our payroll during that time.
But you also didn't, 2021 season, we didn't change our rate.
There was 1 year where we didn't up anything, and then we also fulfilled a long-standing hope of mine is that we are housing 2 ambulances in the town of Moores. We started that about 1.5 years ago. We always had 3, and when we bought our last one, the newest one is in the Moores Station 462. It's a brand new 2021 state-of-the-art ambulance. Instead of getting rid of the old 4th one, we kept it in service, and it's parked in the Moore Station. So we actually have 2 ambulances that can service this town. Of course, all 4 are available to the town of Moores at any time, but we do have 2 and 2, which is kind of a nice thing, especially if one goes down or one is out on a call, we can staff the other one and get it out the door.
So how is the, I wanted to follow up with that question, because I was going to follow up. Now, how is the new station working out with everyone, with the department, with the volunteers? Was it a good investment for the town?
100%, and I'll stand by that. I know you stopped by in Irving, that, and I kind of gave you a personal tour of the building. We've done a lot of upgrades to it ourselves, and with your help with upgrading the well system and the driveway and stuff,
mm-hmm.
It's been a great investment on the town's part. It's used all the time. It definitely fits our needs. We've done a few adjustments within the building as far as supplies and where we keep things, but It's been a great place to work out of. The word that our employees use is cozy. But nonetheless, it is certainly a great operational building for what we do. We just upgraded our security system within that building as far as our computer systems go, so we actually can do some of the day-to-day operations out of the Moore Station as well as our Champlain Station. So that allows us to do a little bit more work out of our satellite station. Definitely a good investment, I'll say.
Last time you came here, we were in a whole different situation.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here tonight in a better light and a better situation.
Sure.
Than we were in 2008.
I think it's been a great undertaking.
It was a board that started in 2018. It was Chris Fullerton and myself.
Yes, it was.
We worked to try to get you guys where you are.
Do you guys have an alarm system there, like a fire alarm system?
Fire alarm system?
I don't think so.
One that's attached.
I know you got cameras.
We have a security system. I don't think we have a fire alarm system that's attached to the 911 system. We have smoke detectors.
So that's what we're looking into getting. You know, we're going to need the town garage to get hooked up, and we'll probably hook that one up.
You guys have one at the town garage?
No, not yet. That's what we got to do.
Okay.
So I think we're going to do the.
Yeah, it would be good. It would be great.
Yeah, because we're set up here. It's tied in with the 911 system.
Okay.
So, okay. I didn't think you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our plan, we have a meeting Thursday to finalize our budget. We'll get that budget and the contract to you folks. And I always provide a cover sheet for explanations of where we're at. And that's kind of where we're at.
Okay.
It's grown tremendously in the last 10 years. I know Don served on our board for 5 years, and I think the year he left, we were doing about 900 calls. So it's really grown even since you were on the board. So.
Okay. Anybody in the audience got a question or?
Well, good.
Okay.
Do you guys have any other questions for me?
All right.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you very much
for your time.
Thank you
for coming by.
Of course, yep.
Okay. Next, we've got Matt Cooper. Matt and I had a discussion. Matt was involved way back when we started the water and sewer debate here in the town, and he since jumped to a different company, and you know, we got what everything has gone on in the last year with over on School Street, and we've got issues here on Route 11, and the state comes in to do their road. So you know, Matt and I decided he wanted to just come and talk about it, and go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, as Jeff said, I had been involved with it, with a study with my prior firm. The study was still probably halfway finished when I had left. It took them a couple of years to wrap it up, and you know, I offered a job, I'll do a review of it. So I noticed right away actually some what I felt were underselling the funding opportunities for these projects. I always like to be conservative with, you know, fluff up the cost to make sure you got plenty of cushion there. Don't over-exaggerate the grant opportunities. Don't set yourself up for failure. However, don't do that to such a degree that it makes the project so far out of reach when if you take a reasonable approach to both of those things, it could be within. And some assumptions were made in that report that I think were either overly conservative or just not fully understanding of the funding opportunities that existed. With that, you know, Jeff and I talked on and off about it until you know more recent issues came up, and that's when I said, well, not only did they undersell these projects on funding opportunities, the funding has gotten even better since. So the state has changed the maximum water and wastewater grants through the drinking water program and the clean water program from $3 million to $5 million on the water side, and from $5 million to $25 million on the sewer side. They've also really stepped up the level of WQIP grants, water quality improvement project grants for wastewater projects. I mean, they're funding new sewer districts to the tune of $9 to $10 million now. Never seen that in 20 years. I mean, that's unbelievable levels of funding. All of this in the context of, as you know, nothing's getting cheaper. Construction materials, labor, fuel, and the water and wastewater problems not going away. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. So with all these converging considerations, you know, Jeff and I talked about, well, maybe we should revisit this with the board to see if you would like to rehash this. In fact, just went through this last 6 months with Tom Champlain, and Tom Tromley and his board ended up asking us to revamp the old sewer study that was actually from my last firm too. So we did try to reinvent the wheel from the standpoint of, we already identified the right service area, the scope of the project, so forth. What it needs is just some freshening up, updating the construction costs, updating the EDU counts, and updating the funding opportunities, and really pushing harder to try to get the project to qualify both water and wastewater for what the FC terms as their hardship projects. Those projects that meet both financial thresholds and technical need thresholds. So the financial, you qualify simply with your median household income. It's a demographic, can't change it. It's whatever's on record through the census. You qualify for that. It's the technical need side that we need to demonstrate that there is dire need for water and wastewater. Since we've started working with the town of Champlain to revamp theirs, their score jumped from, I think, 39 points to 89 points. Now, the point score through these programs is their technical scoring of the need of this project. Is this project really solving some really bad water and wastewater problems? They have a very regimented point system. They go through item by item. Is there this problem? Are they fixing it? Is there this kind of problem? Are they fixing it? Are there contaminated wells? Are there septic systems leaching out into rivers? Blah, 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 blah. To go from 39 to 89 takes you from somewhere in the lower third of the pack to the top 5% of the pack. It almost guarantees your eligibility for hardship. In fact, the town of Champlain didn't get their hardship letter this year for that sewer area. So they are pursuing grants at this time to see if they can bring that project in an affordable level. So that's the level of effort that I would suggest you take if you wanted to revisit water, sewer, both. And for those that hadn't looked at the report or don't recall the details, we started with the old village boundary and kind of worked from there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, the more condensed the population area you're serving, the more cost effective you can make it, right? If you're putting in 2,000 foot of pipe to connect one home, not all that economical. If you're putting in 2,000 foot of pipe and you're connecting 10 homes, boy, the economy of scale really starts working out for that. And that evaluation was done. I don't see necessarily the need to reinvent that unless something has changed in the last 4 years since that report was finalized that would, you know, cause you to look at it if a new Dollar General was built 100 feet outside of where we drew the line before. Well, okay, maybe we look at that. But other than that, you know, we probably wouldn't put that effort into it because that's a significant effort. And what I would look at is trying to keep the cost of this effort down for you if you wanted to try to throw your hat back in the ring from a funding application standpoint.
What's the cost of to proceed with this?
Well, if it's that level of effort, I should have taken notice. I think our fee to Champlain was $7,500 to revamp that sewer report.
And what's that give us, other than the revamp report?
It gives you, that report is basically your marketing tool to get funding. Right now, your marketing tool, the one they prepared for you, isn't all that attractive for the funding agencies. So we would like to revamp that, demonstrate to the funding agencies the need for the project, show that you should qualify for hardship, and then that's a game changer. Because with hardship eligibility comes 0% financing on any portion of the project that's not grant covered. In some cases, when you're talking $5, $10 million projects, 0% financing can have a much effect effectiveness on the end user rate is like a $2 million grant. I mean, it's that valuable to have 0% financing.
But we're still going to pay that $10 million back.
It depends. If it's a $10 million project, we might be able to put together $4, $5, $6 million in grants.
Okay.
It's the balance of it that would have to be paid back. But the numbers have to work. We would have to be able to show that to build all that infrastructure, operate and maintain all of it, and pay the debt on it, yields a user rate that the residents are willing to pay. And that's where the first draft of this report that was completed 4 years ago shows some very, very high user rates. Only because I don't think they used proper funding opportunities or didn't apply them to those scenarios. And again, when we're putting the report together, it's a hypothetical funding scenario based on what we believe you qualify. No engineer can guarantee you anything. In the end, it's the funding agencies that'll make those decisions. But you know, we're applying decades and decades of experience on applying those funding agencies, working with them to what we would forecast as your likely funding scenario. So if we took a hard look at this and said, gosh, it looks like user rates are going to be around $1,200 a year, my guess is your residents are going to balk at that. Say,
per individual?
Per individual.
Well, they're going to balk at that.
If we came in with $500 to $600 per year, people might say, you know what, that's a lot less than I pay for my cell phone for clean water and knowing my sewer's not contaminating the river. So, again, that's what that effort would entail, is working through all those numbers all over again.
What's the longevity of, say we're approved, what's the longevity of the loan, of the payback for our town? Was it 20, 30 years?
So, I mean, municipal law doesn't allow you to bond for a length of time longer than the life expectancy of that asset. So, I mean, you can't buy a fire truck and bond for it for 30 years. Obviously, it's not going to last 30 years.
Right.
For infrastructure, however, you're talking water plants, sewer plants, obviously the pipe and the manholes in the ground. You can bond that for up to 40 years. The two funding agencies that are typically used to finance that offer subsidized rates or even 0% are New York State EFC and USDA Rural Development. EFC typically does a 30-year loan, and Rural Development typically does a 38-year loan.
And we have to qualify, of course.
They have three different interest rate levels based on your qualifications. They have the 0% hardship. They have an intermediate subsidized, and then they have market rate. You're basically paying whatever the going bond market rate is for municipalities. I mean, all that's between 0% and 4%. I mean, we've seen some extremely, even the ones that didn't qualify for hardship, we were seeing interest rates as low as 1.25%.
As an individual, I think it's a wonderful idea to have water and sewer here. But I just think that as an individual, that this town has been taxed over the years beyond, and I just don't know if the people in here could afford it. That's the way I feel. Yes, it'd be good. But I think we should put it out to the community myself.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I think we should put it out to the community. Have some sort of a referendum vote. Let the community speak for it. See how they feel. Did we do that?
I mean, you can, but I mean, you wouldn't have to do the whole town.
Huh?
You just got to do an area.
Yeah. Only do the area that's
within the area.
Do it within the area that's going to be effective. Agreed to that. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, I was a part of it the last time, so I was at Champlain.
I know the last time we did it was a lot of the stuff we sent out, people didn't send it back.
Didn't get it sent back.
Just chewing the garbage.
Usually you don't want it. We sent an interest survey out on the last effort, and usually there's such low response from the interest survey. And what you also tend to see in interest surveys, something of that nature, is the ones that are opposed to it tend to respond at a high rate. So you may only get a 25% response rate overall.
Right.
The no's might respond at a 90% rate out of that 25. Yep. So you're hearing the no's the loudest. Yep. Whereas there might be a large group of maybe or yeses that are like, you know, if they build it, it's fine, I'm happy that I'll pay for it, I'm not opposed to it, so they just don't respond to the survey.
Right.
It's unfortunate, I'd like to hear from everybody, but. Yeah, interest surveys usually garner very low response rates of 20-25% across the board. I'm not just talking water and sewer, just any kind of interest
in
survey.
In general.
Right. But I know, you know, down through the village down here, or I mean, a lot of these houses are getting old, and there's some of the old Neverett store there should be taken down. I mean, you're never going to get redevelopment in there because you got no place to put any sewer. So once these houses start falling down or get dilapidated, where you got to take them down, it's all going to be vacant lots because you know you got no places for sewer. And I mean, the water is just as bad, but I think our more pressing is the sewer than the water. But that, you know, that's my my feeling. But I don't know what the best way. I know that's what we did last time, was we send out questionnaires for people, and we got a very low response back.
Yeah, I think very we had. I think it was in that 20 percentile return.
Yeah.
But I think the positives were pretty equal with the nays on that one.
Which, if you get that low a response rate and the yeses and noes are pretty equal, that's actually pretty good. Because you know most of the yeses just never respond.
Right.
Most of the noes respond, if you heard from them, you know. That tends to be what we see.
Okay, well, I guess we can kind of mull it over and get back to you.
Get back to me, and then if it's something you want to move forward with, then I can send up a proposal for your next board meeting for your consideration.
Yep.
That would describe, you know, what services we provide to
right.
revamp those reports and,
okay.
and decide to go from there.
Fair enough. Yep.
The old report from the previous company you were with, there's obviously an expiration on their validity as far as how long they're.
Yeah, they're, I mean, it's 4 years old now. It was last year that EFC told Champlain that, listen, your report's 7 years old now. If you want us to keep considering your project, you need to send us a new report. So I think EFC was just doing some house cleaning. Not that 7 years is like the magic number, but I think they decided last year, listen, we've got a lot of pool projects sitting on this list. We're going to start contacting all these towns and villages and tell them, if you really want us to consider this and leave it on our funding list, send us a new report, because obviously costs and whatnot have changed over the last 7 years. There's not really a magic number. Other than I know the 7 year mark, they call Champlain hours.
Okay. All right, yeah.
And if you have any questions in the meantime, feel free to give me a call.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
Have you got a card, Matt? Or?
Yep. Anybody else need this? No one left.
Either one. No matter.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate it. Okay. Have you too? Thanks. Highway Department. What's going on?
I'm supposed to start out with our little catastrophe this morning.
Yeah. I guess we're just
malfunction.
Just kind of lucky it wasn't worse than it was.
Yep.
Fried the panel box in the garage.
That's kind of an understatement. I mean, it melted everything, all the wires, and just lucky the whole place didn't work.
Somebody was watching, I don't know. The only note I got on that is, I talked to Renee earlier. I was in Blacksburg last week, and I almost pulled into NCC to see what their game plan is, and not responding, or, and I said, well, better wait to talk about it, and we look for a different company.
Well, that's what we're doing. There's other companies out there, I don't know why they don't want to return a call.
Must be they're too busy, or, I don't know.
I don't know, maybe they can't get the help either, I don't know, but we've been trying for the last 6 months to get in contact with them. We can get a quote on the garage, putting an alarm system over there.
The new plow truck is in at Champlain B. It was actually built, the plow equipment side of it was built in Maine, and they changed mounting brackets. They put an airbag on the front, drive the passenger side, their wing, helps absorb, saves the springs. And they were waiting for a new setup. They weren't sure parts are outrageous to get. It's definitely going to be in the parade on Labor Day, whether it's through us to the highway or them as the dealership. But it is there, it is ready.
Okay.
Other than that, that's the only thing we're waiting on as far as delivery. We just make sure it's right. No rush, technically,
but. Right. Make sure it's right. Everything's 100%.
Dupree Road is almost ready to pave. We have a little more work to do. We had a little accident there last week, if I remember right. We lost a tree. It spun on us and took down a power line. Lynn McGarren's personal pole. From what I get out of Nice Signal Bill, other than the small bill we had tonight for the electrician to transfer the panel box, we had a hole, and they were very good work. So they were glad of what we're doing to eliminate the headaches down the road. But the park seemed pretty good. I did have soil and water do soil samples at the parks, and tests came back good. Basically saying we need more topsoil, compost, a better root base for the grass is what he's saying. Or sprinkler system, which is too big and out of our price range, I believe. But.
Yeah, there's one patch over on the
backside is real bad.
Yeah.
And that's
pretty bare.
Morris Forks, the lower end near the bathhouse, is a bad section. I was going to collect, see if we could see some horse farmers, and like I know Tony's got some pretty hard stuff on the top of his manure pit. If we could get some to donate and mix it with our shoulder dirt, leave it till next year.
Yeah.
See what it looks like in the spring, if it's composted enough, or wait till fall. I don't know. Jeff said maybe, possibly, is it Gary's or Andy's or the Happy Haven Farm on Thompson Road?
I could even probably see if I can get some from Drew's too. It'd be a little stinky, but it's good compost. Yeah, I'll have to look into it, see what we can do. You hate to have the kids running in the dirt with a little bit of grass on it.
Chip's paperwork was all turned in for the first bunch of asphalt we did. Everything was good, so we'll have to, I forget what that was, 200,000, close to 200, to come back in September. Take care of the rest of David.
Okay. The
over here in the corner of Route 11 and Mill Street there where our cemetery is. How much would it cost to fill that ditch in there? I see because of the wet this year, there's a lot of growth in there. And
I was thinking of drying just a 6-inch tile.
I see Don Dupree there, and we whacked it all, cleaned it up, looks a lot better. But, I mean, it'd be nice if we could put culvert in there and fill it in and mow it all.
The pipe across the road is half full of dirt where they're working. Because that's what I was going to try to. One of them's at 45.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can make it work with a little bit of ingenuity, but.
Check it out, see how much it would cost to do that.
$100,000.
Really? That's all?
So I think we walked that today, and I believe the culvert pipe that goes under that driveway to the cemetery is all but collapsed.
Ran a lot of water there.
No. Well, it comes.
More comes.
Yeah.
Comes from hell here and
crosses Mill Street.
Yeah. It all comes down the back of the houses, then it comes.
Yeah,
crosses Mill Street.
It can't be much more. Can't be much more than 100 feet.
Yeah. How much water runs?
Between 200 and 300 feet.
I would say fill it in and make it a hell of a lot easier to mow.
Well, yeah. How much water does any water run from 11 that way?
No. Actually, weird. It goes toward there instead of going to the river. It comes down and goes here and crosses the road and goes down.
So
yeah, you would think it would go to the river, which is very right there. Mm-hmm.
If we fill it in, it won't bother it though, right?
No, it's still going to flow. We've got culvert pipes in there.
Put pipe in and it'll head to 11.
Yeah, where it's going now. It just had the same direction. Just we'll put pipe in and fill it in. And now we're there when they mow, they can mow the whole thing instead of having to weed whack the ditch all the time.
Yeah,
for that little bit of money.
Actually, I might be able to swing that under paying for chips.
Go for it. Okay. What else you got?
You know, the other thing I got, I don't even want to ask, but border guards have got, we tried that a few years ago, we tried out that new little backhoe and rubber tires, JCB. They've got one. $2,500 for $69,000.
69?
It's not big to be pulling stumps and doing what we do with the big ones, but it was a nice, beautiful machine to clean ditches that we have. I know we just bought the truck and it's not the right time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you
I mention it.
You get a good deal on it.
I think it was $2,500.
Is that something we can use the chips money for? I mean, we got to keep it 10 years.
Yeah, you got to have it 10 years.
It's decent shape, and there should be no problem keeping it 10 years.
It's 2017, $2,600.
Same amount of hours.
It's got forks, it's got a brush hog, it's got a bunch of attachments, people. I don't remember them all. Plan was to print the email out. And I can't print no email. I can get more information and we can get together as a group. I just.
Yeah, it's more information.
Money. We need one, definitely, because pretty sure we're down to one. We're still using the other one.
You still got your big excavator if you need to do big.
We keep one of the, what we're going to get out of the old ones, keep the old one pretty short of transmission going again. And starting to, we had this issue maybe 10 years ago. Now time flies, but it'll push oil out. And that was pricey back then.
Mm-hmm.
And
turning it ain't worse.
It's better off to park it and use it for parts. We are using it now and then when I have to, but. We got two of them, so
right.
If we kept that, you're not going to get, they're only going for $4,000 or $5,000.
Right.
So until they're garbage, we can still make them work.
Okay.
This would be a nice machine to clean up the ditches that are already there.
Right. Okay, get some more info on it.
Maybe I'll see if he can let us try it and bring it over, let everybody see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
didn't go with plan.
Okay.
But other than that, that's all I got.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Art's still here. Oh, yeah, there he is.
Library, we're still having a lot of busy times. We're doing a lot of things going on there. There's a summer reading program for kids. It's winding down during the month of August, but that's gone well. Last night, we had Danny's food truck at the library from 4 to 7 p.m. We had an open house. I guess she served over 50 people. Was really good. She ran out of her special for the day by 6 o'clock. So that went well. We may do something similar sometime in the future. This Friday at 6 o'clock at the community room, we're having a dedication ceremony. I think Calvin's coming, right?
Yeah.
We're having a dedication ceremony I think I've mentioned before that Linda Gagno had that the family had donated all of her pictures, well not all, her son got a few, but almost all of her pictures to the library. And so the library staff and board have picked out the ones that they liked for the library. And they have, in the community room, you know, have the walls lined with their very beautiful pictures. It's like an art gallery. Linda bought them over the years, mostly from Channel 57 when they had an auction for a fundraiser. And she kept saving them. And now they're there for us. But the public obviously is invited and welcome to come this Friday at 6 o'clock, the community room. It would be nice to see some board members, the town board members, if we could make it to be there. I don't think it's going to be a long ceremony, as far as I know. I think Tom Hallock from Channel 57 will be there to help dedicate. And eventually, I think in about 3 months or so, we're planning to have some sort of an auction as well. For the other pictures, there are so many pictures, we've only put up probably less than half of them. And we're going to, as a library fundraiser, we're going to auction off the other pictures. And I think Tom Hallett will be coming back to help us with that. He remembers Linda well when she used to go to those auctions for Channel 57, and he's more than happy to come. So again, we'd like to welcome the community to come. This Friday at 6 o'clock at the library. The Senior Planet lectures are continuing. Next week, for example, we're doing Zoom. If you want to have any more information about Zoom, etc., Tuesday, we do it at 1 o'clock so that the people at the food shop can come. If we do it at 10 o'clock, food shop can't go. So 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock on Tuesday, and 10 o'clock on Thursday. Next week we'll be Zoom with that. And then in September we have some more. It's going to be, I think, PayPal and all that sort of thing in September. Still no word statewide. Nobody has heard anything about the grant. So we'll see where that goes. The library would like to join the parade, firemen parade. So some of us want to walk and some want to ride, so I don't know what vehicle Irving has anymore, but we may have to walk, but we'll see. But we're looking forward to that, and we hope to have something going on in the parade for the library.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Good. All right, thank you, Art. Oh, beautification.
Nothing new, just that the signs are going to be repaired. Everybody's taking a sign and doing it on their own. I think everybody's waiting for no rain and a little cooler.
Yeah. Well, it's cooler today.
I know, right? That's about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Fire department. Todd couldn't make it, but he just texted me over. They had 8 calls for the month of July. seven into town, one mutual aid, one structure fire, two motor vehicle accidents, two wildland fires. So they got a total of 88 calls so far this year. Okay, and he wanted me to remind everybody that Labor Day is coming up. Tickets are available. Just ask any fireman or whatever, they'll get you all you want. Okay, thank you. EMS, we've talked about cemetery.
Yes, I spoke to Jeff today and he said probably 2 weeks and the gate will be installed.
Okay.
So that's working out kind of nice. Like, I wanted to see it done by Labor Day so that,
That would work out
really
great.
See what it looked like and stuff.
Okay.
I was wondering about that tree though in front of the new fence over here.
Yeah,
that fell down.
One that fell. Is it still there?
Yeah, it is.
Chris, you think you can get on the boys to get that out of there?
Yeah, I wanted to cut the whole thing last time and fixed it up. And it just didn't work. I noticed that. I've been going the other way to avoid the light, but I did come through.
Me too. I go around.
Okay. All right. I see we got a bill for $1,300 for monument.
Yeah. When they put the four monuments up in the cemetery.
Okay. Okay. Please don't do it tomorrow, though.
Oh no.
Okay. Because we don't want to have that much money in that cemetery. So
yeah.
If you can, but no, that's great that you got them done. Okay. Anything else?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. All right, thank you, Vic. Okay, old business. What do I got under old business? Ditch right there. Sidewalks. Okay, we decided last month that we were going to do some sidewalks. We're going to, here in the village, we're going to go from the old Catholic Church all the way to the Hemingford Road with the new sidewalk. And then in Morris Forks, we're going to finish the one down Route 11 to the Davison Road and eventually possibly going up to Davison Road and make a circle.
Is that something new?
Yeah, I think he just hooked it up today. That's the, must have got some insulation in it.
The air exchanger.
The air exchanger, yeah. I think he just hooked it up today.
Yeah,
he must have got some insulation in there. but yeah, so what we need to do is we need to put it out on the in the paper to get bids. So we need a resolution to do that, and I'll have Kelly read the resolution.
Okay. Whereas the town of Moores would like to construct new sidewalks along where it ends on Route 11 to Davidson Road in Moores Forks and along where it ends on Maple Street to Hemingford Road in Moores, and whereas the town of Moores will go out to bid for construction of the new sidewalks, be it hereby resolved that the town of Moores will go out to bid for the construction of the new sidewalks.
Okay, and I have a motion to Irving. Ryan, a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Carried. Okay. Thank you. That'll go in the paper soon and we'll have the bids out at the next board meeting. Okay.
Do you have to get specifications?
Yep.
Yeah, because
yep.
I think she mentioned today
they
have to be a minimum 5 feet out for 88 compliance.
Right. And then we'll have them pick up a spec here at the town and all the information they'll need. So, yeah. Okay. Got a letter here from Sandra Dykstra from Ellenberg. I apologize for delay in the receipt of this email. Attached is a contract for the GHD to provide some engineering services to the towns for pre-application matters related to the Bull Run Wind Energy Project. The Bull Run Wind project is still a ways off, but there is some preliminary pre-application work that is needed on the engineering legal side on behalf of the towns. Inventor is stated last night at the Clinton Windmill Committee meeting that it would be at least fall before the application would be ready to submit to the state under the new section of 94C permitting process. Invenergy has an escrow agreement in place and has deposited funds for this work under the contract, so there is no impact on the towns will incur. If you have any questions, give me a call. So the Town of Clinton Renewable Energy Committee meets on the first Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. It doesn't say where, it just says they meet at 6 p.m. on the first Wednesday of the month. So they're still moving forward with the windmills, from what I gathered on that. Okay, anything else under old business?
I had heard 2 more years.
2 more years, yeah. That's what they keep saying.
That's what we keep hearing. Yeah.
Last month we talked about sealing driveways, the rec park here and the one in Morse Forks and this driveway, and we determined that we would get other bids for it. I called 2 other companies to bid it. I haven't heard anything from anybody, and actually Dylan Gay said that they bought, him and his buddy bought a machine and they were going to give me a quote, but I haven't gotten anything from it either.
The only thing he did say was too big. They haven't did that many, and they prefer not to get involved in something that big.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was talking with Tyson last week and told him that we were going to do the rec park over here, and he said, well, we're starting soccer this week, so, and we go to almost into October. So I called the ceiling company. I told them, you need to get the one done at the rec park as soon as possible, because soccer is going to start and you're talking a month and a half or better before they can do it again, and they get into October. So they did it last week, and they're going to, I think they sealed the cracks on this one up here, and they're going to try to get it done this week before soccer starts. So those 2 are done. I made the decision to go ahead and do them, because they had to get done before soccer started. They had to have a chance to dry. So, but nobody else has given me a bid. I called DDP Property Maintenance Seal Coating LLC out of West Shazy, and they said they were going to give me a quote. And then SK Seal Coating out of Ellenburg Depot, and I've heard nothing from either one of them. So, and we're hoping to do this one shortly after Labor Day. As the firemen, when they do before Labor Day, they wash all this down and get it nice and clean, and I think it would be a great time to do it. So I think they give us a pretty good quote, but you know, unless we hear from somebody else, the only one they're going to be able to bid now is this one here. So, but I'd like a motion that if they don't, that right after Labor Day we go ahead and do this one.
Make a motion if we don't get any more bids on that. Go ahead. Go with this one.
Okay. The second.
And that's the line you get to, right?
Yep. And that's striking it after 2. Striking handicap parking spaces and no parking up here. You know, what it used to be when we first did it. So, but it's, everybody parks anyway. So, okay. So we got a motion from Donald. And wait here a second. Ryan?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, carried. Thank you. Anything else under old business? Okay, well, new business. Anybody got any new business? The only thing I've got is I got a letter from the Board of Elections, and they'll be bringing the machines in on Friday, August 19th, and they'll pick them up on Thursday, August 25th. Their primary election will be held on Tuesday, August 23rd. This is District 1 and 2. So they're going to vote both here again like they did the one a month ago. So I believe this is a Democrat primary?
Yeah. August 23rd is a Democratic
caucus. I think so. Because the one they had earlier was a Republican one. doesn't say on here, but that's gonna happen here August 23rd. Okay, anything else under new business? Nothing? Calvin, you got anything?
Not really. I just stopped in to see if you guys have any questions for me. We got the updated sales tax report through July, but they issued it on July 22nd, so it's not the full month, but it's only showing 4.27 increase over last year with a 9% inflation rate. I wasn't too impressed that the sales tax only got up 4.2%, but that was, like I said, July 22nd, about the full month in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with all the Canadian traffic coming through, buying gas and everything, we got to be over higher than that. So,
yeah.
So the sales tax money is going up, but I don't have an actual report on it. So I don't know if you guys have anything for me. I'm still... every time I drive by Jack Dragoon's house and through there at the cemetery, I'm still thinking about that speed limit going down to 45. I think it's as highly populated an area as you've got.
Have you heard anything on it, or?
No. Did you guys pass a resolution on it, though? If you guys don't make that first step,
we need a resolution. I thought we just needed a letter. I thought we had sent a letter.
I don't recall seeing it.
No. Okay. Well, do you need a letter or a resolution?
Whatever, it would just show that the board would like to have it lowered, and just pick a spot, somewhere before Irving's road there.
Right. Well, I think it should start right at Route 11.
Yeah, I'm talking about the other end.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Probably by park. No matter where you want it.
Right.
I know Todd was here, Todd Gumbel was here, mm-hmm. and wanted it way back where
right.
he is.
Right, I think that's,
the Ice House wanted it past where they are. Uh-huh. I can understand, so if you're driving by their place, mm-hmm. you may be concerned, but you got to do something that's practical, and I think maybe stopping where the trailer park begins is about as
park,
as any.
I Park Lane, I think we'll run up to Park Lane, and I think we should be good.
I was going to say, at least from Irwin's up is very dangerous plowing snow.
I'll make a motion that we send a letter to the county?
State.
State DOT?
DOT. Okay. Send a copy to me and then I'll try to send a copy I made to Carl. Carl Weiss wouldn't hurt.
The
county involved.
He has to put a thing on it or no?
I think that the county has to renew it as county road, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How far do you want it to go down? I need
From Route 11 to Park Lane.
No, not Park Lane. That would be past Herrick Road.
Yeah, what's it called?
Yeah.
Ryan must know what it's called. What's it?
Trombley's Old Trailer Park.
Yeah, it's Park Lane.
Park.
Park Lane, yeah.
Is that Park?
I think so.
Park Lane is where the
Ryan is mine. That's my Ryan, yeah.
That's where Ryan is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's just past Herrick Road, whatever the trailer park
is. Yeah, the trailer park road. I'll have to get it. I'll go that way tonight and I'll get it for you.
Yeah, from that driveway up,
Route 11
would be best.
Yeah, slow them down.
I always go 45 through there. And,
I do too.
And everybody else does.
Yeah, it's not everybody does, but I do too.
What do you want to decrease to? 30?
45, right? 45? That's what we're looking for.
I'm thinking 45. I think if you go 30, you're just looking for speeding tickets.
Yeah, I don't think they would drop it that far anyways.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I think it was reasonable to be 45.
There is a very limited site on that road, too.
Oh, yeah. It's curvy, it's shaded.
The houses are fairly close to the road. Yeah, so, okay. All right, so I make a motion. Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Okay, carried. Okay.
I got a question for Galvin.
Yep.
How are we making out with the sale of the county nursing home?
We've got an agency working on it for us. They're supposed to bring in three different outfits to do an on-site review of it this week. So I probably won't know any more until next week's meeting, but it's not something I was excited about, but
So is that three potential buyers?
three potential bidders. They said one of the drawbacks is it's not a 100-patient facility. There's some drawbacks that, you know, limits the number of bidders that might step up. But they had at least three, and they thought maybe a fourth one would be stepping up. But this outfit is, you know, they're working hard to get it.
It's on an 80-bed facility?
Yeah. Right now, I think we have 50 occupied. We told, you know, our problem is staffing.
Right. Same thing at the hospital.
You know, nothing worse than having somebody that's there saying, oh, your replacement's not coming in, you got to spend another shift here working. You know, that's no good.
Yep. It's a nightmare.
Is that why we're keeping all these individuals at the hospital? Because we don't have enough staffing to send them back to the county?
Right now, we haven't got enough staffing. I don't know why the hospital part, I don't know about Meadowbrook or other places that could take them, I don't know. But as far as us, we just don't have staff. But, you know, that's a story you hear in all kinds of businesses.
Yeah. For sure. Okay. Anybody else have anything for Calvin? Okay. Public comment? We got anything? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to close.
Make a motion to close.
Randy?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, everybody.